Welcome to Living the Dream Outdoors, the official podcast of Living the Dream Outdoor Properties. We live by the motto, it's not just land, it's a lifestyle. And we live the outdoor lifestyle every day. Whether you're a landowner or dreaming of joining the ranks of those closest to the earth, we're your brothers and sisters of the outdoors. We hunt, we fish, we're stewards of the land. And our Living the Dream team will show you the way to enjoying the land and all the outdoor pursuits it has to offer. Here's your host, Bill Cooper.
Welcome to Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast. I'm your host, Bill Cooper.
I'm your co-host, Hunter Hindman.
Hey, and today we're at Potosi, Missouri at the Twin Equals Lake and Resort, and we are attending a winter freeze whitetail land management event and seminar. That's quite a mouthful.
Yeah, it is.
Get you to repeat that five times fast, Hunter. But right at the moment, we're sitting across the table from Bill Bucket.
Buckite.
Boy, we got a lot of difficult words today, but he's with Real World Wildlife Products, and they're out of Arthur, Illinois. Well, Bill, this looks like a pretty solid event. I guess, is it just deer hunters here today?
I don't think so. Looks like they got a little bit of everything here. Looks like there's some guns up here for sale. We got some food products here. Looks like some drone recoveries and different stuff like that. So,
hey, everything that a whitetail hunter would be interested in.
And then some.
And then some. Well, there's quite a mixture of camo here. I know that for sure. But this is, I guess, going to be an annual event, but this is the first event.
That's right.
So it looked like they're getting a decent turnout. People keep pouring in. But people, everybody that's a deer hunter these days is interested in food plots, it seems. Has that been your experience?
Oh, yeah. Growing all the time.
Growing all the time. I know I've been planting food plots since before Hunter was born, I'm sure.
I try as hard as I can. Some years they're there and some years they're not.
Yeah, I know. And of course, I started so far back. What did the old timers use for food plots when they started? It was winter wheat and Ladina clover primarily.
Oh, yeah.
Well, many years later, I still use a lot of that. But there's been a lot of seed companies come on the scene in the last, particularly the last 20 years. How long have you guys been around, Bill?
I think I'm not for sure exactly when he started. I started just as a dealership probably in the year 19 or 20 is when I started. Don Higgins is the owner and of the company. They're in like North Central Illinois, and he's just like me and you, just a hardcore deer hunter and one of the best food plots for his deer. Started out experimenting on food plots and just kept finding better and better stuff, and eventually it just turned into a company. So,
well, boy, that's the kind of story I like to hear. You know, I've been in the outdoor industry for over 55 years and seen a lot of businesses start out of somebody's garage. How many outdoor products companies have you seen in your lifetime start in somebody's garage? They get to doing pretty good, maybe a little more than they can handle.
Yeah.
They wind up selling to a bigger conglomerate, you know.
Yeah.
In fact, Drury Outdoors, that I've worked for a number of years, I write for their DeerCast app, and they sold to GSM Outdoors last year, you know, so I got a new boss. And I don't know how many times over decades that's happened to me. But in the seed, do you call it the seed business, or what do you call it exactly? That's what you sell.
I guess just a food plot seed company, yes.
Yeah, I noticed you had, some minerals and fertilizers and that sort of thing, too.
Yeah, we're
soil additives.
Each year, we're kind of expanding that a little bit more. Minerals is probably the next thing they started into. We're now probably our biggest thing we're getting into now is a soil amendment. Not so much just, you know, the food that you plant, what you grow, but trying to amend the soils where all the nutrients are there for the plant to uptake, which in turn the deer will uptake, and healthier food. So
exactly. And I think you hit on a topic there that I think probably most of us, when we first started out food plotting, you know, hey, we just want to throw some seed on the ground. We want to kill a monster buck there this year.
Oh, yeah.
So you guys are more also educating people on how to grow that food plot successfully, not only just like throw it out there and hope that something happens. You're
correct.
Teaching the public how to actually manage that food plot and that food source in the soil to help grow in big deer.
Correct. We put out a yearly land management guide, as you see here in front of you. It has all of our products in there, and also there's some there's always a few articles in there every year to help the landowner, you know, learn.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff in here. It's a very cool catalog you guys got here. So,
well, I think one of the hardest lessons for people to learn when they started is the importance of that soil, the pH, and all those sorts of things that can be fixed. And I know in the Missouri Ozarks, we tend to be really on the acidic side, so there needs to be lime added and that sort of thing. I skipped that for years, but I still killed deer. You know, but I did find once I started applying some fertilizer and some lime and dressing that hilltop soil up a little bit, I did see some better bucks coming, those good food sources.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And I'm sure that's been your experience and your time in this field. But where do you guys market to? I know you're obviously get out of Illinois because you're over here in Missouri Ozarks.
Well, I think their business style is not to be in the big superstore market.
Right. I like those guys.
They are out to individuals like me across the country. Just basically, like, I sell out of my shed, out of my garage.
There you go.
Storefront. So it's basically all just individual dealers, and they like that style of marketing a lot better than the big store. We can also get the product to everybody cheaper that way, we believe. So it's just
I think so too.
And more closer, you know. I'm here with you talking. That's different than you going to, you know.
Big box store.
Yeah, big box store, and you know.
Well, I think that would appeal to deer hunters as well, because all of us, when we go to buy products like this, I mean, you know, we feel like they're a little pricey, but you got to pay the price to get the good stuff. But you like to know that there's some knowledge behind that as well. I'd much rather buy from a deer hunter than go to.
Yep.
All of our products are tested on Don Higgins' farm personally and other farms across the country before they bring the product to market. If it does not work for them, they're not going to sell it to you. So there's extensive testing done before any of our products are run to market.
I bet he enjoys his job.
Oh, yeah.
Ask him if he needs some help.
He started working, I believe, at a manufacturer making ball bearings, I think. And
He needed a diversion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's been the case with so many people that have gotten into the outdoor industry here. I've been an outdoor writer for 55 years, but most of us, you know, we have to have a day job, too.
Oh, yeah.
And I retired from that day job 12 years ago and enjoyed working almost full-time in the outdoor media realm. But I get to meet so many people like yourself, and I've heard similar stories so many times. But there's where the greatest successes come from, because it's not only a good product that you're putting out that you've got confidence in, but you get to meet a lot of deer hunters yourself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I try to expand a little bit each year. First it was just my hometown of Perryville, Missouri. Slowly expanded into Jackson and Cape area, and I sell to a local guy up here, and he invited me to come up. Said, "Hey, you know, we're putting together a thing up here first year. I'd like to have you come up." So I said, "Sure, you know, I'll help him out."
Absolutely, it's good for everybody.
Oh yeah,
and I shouldn't even tell you this, but I was born and raised in East Prairie.
Oh,
down in Boot Hill.
Been there.
Yeah, and you know, of course, I was raised on a cotton farm, but back in those days, there were no deer and turkey in the Boot Hill area. If you heard about a deer, it was usually some old drunk guy at the local local country store, you know, who was bragging about the fact that he had seen a deer track, usually on a sandbar in the Mississippi River. It's the way the stories always went. But I can remember, you know, I left there in 1967, went to college, the military. But I can remember going back, I go back still to duck hunt and dove hunt and that sort of thing. But I can still remember the first deer I ever saw in a Boot Hill.
Really?
About 20 years ago. Yeah. And I was just flabbergasted, you know. So glad to see it. But, man, you're on quite a journey here. And, of course, you're a deer hunter, too. And I'm sure you enjoy your job, being able to meet people, present these products to them. And do you get a response? Much of a response back from people that you sell to about the success that they've had? You hear lots of deer hunting stories.
Yeah, I mean, I try to reach out to them, talk about their hunt. You know, I'm always asking, hey, how was your hunt last year? How was your food products? You know, what they look like? And, yeah, so we're it's a two-way street. You know, they ask me how my things go. So, yeah, there's a lot of interest in I'm generally interested in, you know, did you have success last year? You know,
absolutely.
How big did you kill a buck? You know, how did the food plots look? What can I help you with? So. That's the only way you're going to learn.
Absolutely. And good old word of mouth, you know, is the best advertising you can get.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm sure you hear from lots of deer hunters. But I got to ask you, man, you got a long line of products laying out on the tables out there. And before, as far as seed goes, what's the most popular thing you sell for food plotters?
I would say our Gen 2 soybeans are probably the most popular. I think that's one of the, I think Don started out with, like you said a while ago, rye or oats or something was
right.
The first thing, then probably a clover. I know he said they've literally tested hundreds of types of beans.
And wow.
There's four different types of beans in our Gen 2. They're high in protein. And they are also shatter resistant, so they will withstand the rigors of winter. We just had ice storm here about a month ago, a couple weeks. I had probably 3/4 to an inch of ice on my corn and soybeans, and most beans would probably fall over flat, nothing there. To this day, I still got the deer are still flooding out there feeding on the beans. They're still
I bet they are. You get in this January, February scene when, let's say, the ice, the extremely cold temperatures. And now, see if I remember my science right. Soybeans got a lot of what in them? Carbohydrates?
Oh, yeah.
Fats?
Yep.
Just what deer need in the wintertime.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It looks like you guys do some other stuff, too. I'm looking at something here. It says Upland Game Blend. And then it looks like they've got some other seeds available for, like, bedding and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you wanted to mention that or
Let
us know a little bit about that.
Yeah, we're transitioning into, like I said, a little bit more every year. We sell screening products. Giant Miscanthus is our number one screening product. It grows 12, 15 foot tall. You can use it to hide your food plots from the road if you have food plots next to the road, from prying eyes. The other thing you can use it for is access to your stand. If you need something to sneak up behind, the deer can't see you, you can plant a strip or row of this giant miscanthus, and it's not there just 1 year like a lot of these products that you see out there. This will stand forever. It's like kind of like cane stalks, like bamboo stalks.
Like it looks almost like sorghum I used to see in the boot hill.
Yeah, so it's this stuff too. This did not fall over in that ice storm. This
really?
Stayed standing, yes. Stayed standing during that ice storm, like I said, 3/4 to an inch in ice on that. And we were still able to access up behind that to our stand. So.
Wow. Almost hate to ask this question, but you're from you plant food plots over around the Perryville area.
Oh, yeah.
Up in the hills. What works good for you that you've been happy with?
I would say.
Because whatever he says, I think might work good in Crawford County, too.
Well, I want to say everything. That sounds like a sales gimmick.
Yeah.
I have the most success, I would say, with the corn and the beans. Your beans are almost like a year-round food plot. I mean, you put them out, you know, early in the spring, they're up. Everybody knows deer loves beans. They're out there all summer long eating on those beans.
Oh, absolutely.
Through the fall. And then, if you can get a good crop of beans to stand through the winter, they're still out there today. They're still out there today feeding on those beans. So
wow, that's incredible.
That's that's probably the most bang for your buck. I'd say second is our NutriCrave corn. It is, like you mentioned a while ago, protein, carbohydrates. Our NutriCrave corn is 3-4 times better than what you can find at your ag corn as far as the fat content and the high oil. So you know, all of our products, like I said earlier, they go through rigorous testing, years and years of testing, personal testing on Don's farm before they're brought to product. So, you know, everybody wants to shoot big deer. And most serious deer hunters are going to do whatever they can to produce bigger deer. So our products are, like I said, they're high in nutrients. Our other products that you're flipping through here, our latest products are fertilizer and pH balancers. We're getting into more like your soil amendments or amendments to soil, so the product that you are growing has a better chance to grow. It's also got more nutrients, and I think I mentioned this earlier, the more nutrients you got in the ground, the more your crops are going to uptake those nutrients, and then your deer are going to eat those nutrients, and then we're going to eat those deer.
It's healthier
for everybody. But, hey,
another quick question for you now. Of course, I was BOAG, FFA, and all that stuff in high school, and one of the things, of course, I wanted to get out of the hoop booty hill just to get away from the cotton fields. I picked cotton by hand. I used to tell my dad all the time, I'm going to the hills because the farmers up there, all they do is sit on the front porch and watch cows get fat. Now, I remember this picture from high school ag at the time in the boot hill. I'm sure they're doing better than this now, but we were making like 45 bushels to the acre of soybeans, regular poor old farmer out there. And in BOAG, I discovered that the hillbillies up in the hills growing soybeans were doing about 16 bushels per acre. I remember telling my dad, those boys up there don't know how to farm. I didn't quite get the connection between the soil, you know. So is there a difference, Bill, in how you would plant things in the hills as opposed to the Delta region?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Yeah. Without a doubt. I mean, your soil Delta region is already, you know, richer, just like you mentioned. It's richer to start out to begin with. Your hills, probably, you get out in the river hills where I'm not really in the river hills where I'm at, but I'm very close to them.
Right.
You know, you got to watch out for soil erosion, all that stuff. So you're probably better off, which we're also transitioning into more no-till. Is what we're trying to transition into versus the conventional, you know, working the soil and all that. So, like I said, we're basically, you know, we're trying to educate people on how to grow a better product, so you know, they can have more success hunting. You know. You know, you take your kids out there, your grandkids. You don't want to sit there and not see deer or anything. So
exactly,
we're trying to do the best where everybody can have, you know, a successful hunt when they're out there. Not just yourself, but for your family and, you know, for your kids.
That's what it's all about. Well, you certainly built my confidence in you with that answer about the soil situation. But it's obvious that you guys have done your homework, done your research, got lots of products out on the market, and you're doing well. And you can also answer lots of questions.
Try my best.
Hey, I'm sure you get tons of them. Well, Bill, we really appreciate you being on the podcast with us. So how can people get a hold of you or dealers or whoever they need to get a hold to find this?
You can go on the website. Just look, type in Real World Wildlife Products. They got all of our products on there. Anything you need to learn, you can, you know, click on it and learn that. There's also a website on there for all of our dealers across the state. You can click on that. You can find your closest local dealer to you. They also have a podcast, weekly podcast. It's called Chasing Giants.
There you go.
Don Higgins and Terry Peer. And it's an excellent podcast. I would suggest everybody get on and listen to that.
You bet. Deer hunters are always looking for it. I do it all the time, driving down the highway and listening to those podcasts. Full of great information. Again, appreciate you being on the podcast with us. And folks, don't go away. We're going to take just a short break here to hear from some of today's sponsors. I'm Bill Cooper.
Hi, I'm Steve Stoltz with Drury Outdoors, and you're listening to Living the Dream Outdoors Podcast with Bill Cooper and Hunter Heineman.
Hey, this is John from CoAngler.com. Did you know that CoAngler.com is the newest online platform to connect anglers for fishing trips? You can create your free account, offer and request fishing trips, connect with anglers in your area, share some costs, share some knowledge, and share a great time in the outdoors. Whether you're fishing from a boat and you got an extra seat and want somebody to come with you, or you need some help shuttling those kayaks for your next float trip, CoAngler is a great way to connect with like-minded anglers in your area for a great time out on the water. So get on CoAngler.com and let's go fishing.
Hey there, listeners. At Conservation Federation of Missouri, we're more than just advocates for our environment. We're active in making a difference through hands-on programs that protect and preserve Missouri's natural resources. By becoming a member, you're supporting impactful initiatives like Share the Harvest, which provides venison to families in need, and Operation Game Thief, which helps combat poaching and protects our wildlife. You're also contributing to the RISPR grants, which fund local conservation projects across the state. Your membership makes these vital programs possible, ensuring that we continue to serve both our communities and our environment. Plus, as a member, you'll receive updates on these programs, invitations to exclusive events, and the opportunity to get involved in the work you care about most. Visit confedmo.org/join to learn more and to join us today. Together, we can support programs that protect Missouri's wildlife, waters, and way of life. Be a part of the Conservation Federation of Missouri, where action leads to conservation.
Hey everyone, this is Michael Collins with Misty Mountains Guiding Service. I'm here to talk to you a little bit about what we offer. Misty Mountains is a smallmouth and trout-specific guiding service that caters to the Northern Ozarks region. My areas include the Upper Merrimack River, the Gasconade, and a few smaller creeks in the Mid-Missouri area. Whether you enjoy casting streamers to bass, drifting a dry fly, or ripping lips with spinning gear, I've got you covered. Fishing is made easy in my state-of-the-art drift boat raft. I control the boat with ease while you or yourself and a buddy do all the work at catching fish. Besides a great day on the water, I provide all needed gear, a delicious shore lunch, and as much fishing knowledge as you can carry with you on the way home. Spots for the 2024 season are going fast. Give me a call or text today to get your trip booked. My number is 573-823-9057. Find me on Facebook and Instagram at Misty Mountains Guiding Service. It's always an adventure with Misty Mountains.
Hey everybody, this is Alex Rutledge with American Roots Outdoors. Check out my buddy's podcast show, Living the Dream Outdoors with Bill Cooper and Hunter Hindman. You're really going to enjoy this week's show.
Welcome back to Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast. We're today over Twin Eagles Campground, Lake, and Hideout and Resort.
Yes, sir.
And a number of other things.
Yes, sir.
Well, we have the owners here. That's Tyler and Jennifer Juliet. You guys had a grand event here today. I congratulate you. First time event, right?
In this kind? Yes, first time.
Wow. It was kind of a deer hunting show.
Yes.
You had a long title part. Can you repeat it?
Land development. Basically.
Yeah. Well, you never know what to expect from a show like this, particularly when it's the first time. Mm-hmm. But you had a lot of serious deer hunters here today.
Yes, yes.
Well, it was, of course, always fun to watch. And I saw a guy from NDA here with some huge deer heads sitting on a table. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure everybody went by and took a good look at those.
They had a new Pope and Young non-typical, like a 186 he scored today.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's nice anywhere.
Yeah.
Well, I went back up in history. I like history just a little bit. How long have you guys been in business here?
Here we started it in 2018.
Yeah.
18, so it's a fairly new operation.
Yes, sir.
Well, I don't know how my wife found out about it, but she absolutely loved this place. We were over here last summer camping, you know. And I'm kind of a wilderness type guy, you know. My wife said, I want to go over and stay at that place because I want to ride in the golf cart around the lake all weekend. Yeah. I was dizzy time the weekend was over. But, man, we talked to so many wonderful people that come from all over the country. It wasn't just Potosi people or Missouri people. We talked from, several states and just really had a good time. And it was really quite a change of pace for me because, like I said, I'm kind of a wilderness guy. I like to float down the rivers a week at a time by myself.
We do that, too.
Oh, do you? Well, good for you. Good for the heart and soul. Well, I got to ask, who's the boss here?
Oh, of course she is.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. Does he take orders pretty good?
Not so much.
Well, I don't either, so I can't. We're in the same boat.
I tell him to stop building. He won't stop building.
Oh, he's one of those guys. Yeah.
He builds it. I have to figure out how to run it.
Well, it sounds to me like he's got the better end of the deal. Then. But I talked to people here today that know you guys and really patted you on the back for the involvement in the community. Now, I understand that you support a lot of the conservation organizations, their banquets and that sort of thing. So,
yes.
Hey, kudos for doing that.
Yes.
But let's get back to the event today. You had a number of speakers, and I think they all did very well, but you covered a number of topics. What were some of the things you talked about today?
They started with, of course, we did some realtor stuff that you guys did to kind of Hunter show people that their realtors can't help them find a good hunting spot or sell their home, their farm for hunting. And then I think we got into Predator control a little bit.
Oh, yeah, that was a great presentation, yep. Too. And I saw a lot of ears perk up when he started talking about predator control, because you know yourself and you know Hunter too, that that's a relatively new topic among deer hunters and turkey hunters, because everybody argued, seemed like for the first 20 years after turkey season started, the MDC kind of claimed, oh, predators have nothing to do with, you know, yeah. If the habitat's there and it's all always going to be great.
Yeah.
But kind of Joe Blow's out there started taking things in their own hands on their own property, started eliminating a lot of predators, your skunks, raccoons, everything wants to eat a turkey. So when some of them didn't come to their own experiments and they found out, yeah, predator control does make a difference.
Absolutely.
And I fought that battle with Ducks Unlimited 50 years ago, you know. They didn't want to talk about predator control.
Right.
Well, Delta Waterfowl came along, kind of kicked them in the shins, I think, and they proved that predator control was important.
So, it's a have to.
Yeah, absolutely. So a great program on that today. And then we had Shane Motzenbacher, who I've known for quite some time, worked with him. Always does a great job.
He did.
With his presentation. Yeah. Well, I have to wonder, you know, you must be an organizer. How'd you twist all these guys' arms to get them to come to a new show, not just a show?
And it was a last-minute throw together. We just
really
trying to create things here in the wintertime to keep our employees busy, because, you know, how hard it is to get new employees if you can't keep them working, you know? So
exactly.
Is one of the ideas that we come up with, and I started calling around, and it's been a pain because people drop out, join back. You know, there's been two or three times I've almost called it off, and we just kept hanging in there, and it all came together pretty well, I thought, for our first time.
Oh, I thought it was an excellent show, didn't you, Hunter?
Yeah, it was great. It was a good time, and got to hear other people's messages and information, and come see Twin Eagles Lake Resort again and hang out here. It's been a fun day.
Yeah, it really has been. I laughed so hard. I left a little bit ago and come back, and Hunter was surrounded by some little kids that they were wanting to get on the podcast. So we did a podcast with them.
As they said, that's pretty awesome. All about the kids.
Well, gosh, I was astounded. You couldn't have paid me done that when I was that age. I'd have died of fright. But they were all 4-H kids.
That was 4-H, and we brought them in to sell chances for us and give a donation. And, you know, people usually buy chances from little kids more than they do from adults.
Oh, absolutely. Right.
And it gives them a chance to make some money. And when those first little girls came in, I said, are you little girls shy? And they looked at me and shook their head no. I thought, all right, we're good to go.
Exactly. Yeah, they told us the whole storyline about showing their pigs and chickens and something else at 4-H. Now, I ain't been around 4-H in a long time. This little girl told me she had a grand champion chicken a couple years ago and sold it for $200.
Oh, it's nothing. It's crazy with those things so far.
I think she said there was one that did $600 or something.
Yeah, well, I've seen them sell a couple $1,000. Get the right grandparents there.
Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy.
Wow. But what an education for these kids. And, of course, I love it because it's outdoor oriented, and all of those kids deer hunted, didn't they? All four of them.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Deer hunting, some of them turkey hunting. Yeah, or fish, man. And, of course, I'm 75 years old, and I've seen a lot of changes in this world. I would have never dreamed when I was on a cotton farm in Mississippi County and fishing the sloughs and the backwaters and the bayous that I'd ever hear a term called anti-hunter.
Right.
Boy, it's a good thing they didn't show up in our part of the neighborhood back in those days, you know.
Yeah, some of these new terms we got nowadays, you know, we got
really rocked my world when that stuff started first hitting the scene. And to think, I hate to even repeat these numbers, but today only about 4% of Americans hunt.
That's incredible.
That's just astounding. Yeah. But we still got as many hunters, pretty close to the highest numbers we ever had because of population growth. But still, 4%, wow, that's worrisome.
They don't know what they're missing.
Oh, they do not. And it we all know as hunters, it's not about that kill, because particularly if you're a turkey hunter, man, I didn't get beat 100 times more than I beat a turkey, you know. But it's the fact that you get to get out there and watch that sunrise, listen to the owls, and, boy, if you get a turkey to gobble, that's the icing on the cake. Uh-huh. But you're promoting that sort of thing.
Yes.
And particularly having an outdoor resort here where families can come and enjoy the outdoors in their fashion.
Yes.
This may not be the wilderness trip on, you know, horseback to Colorado to hunt elk back in the wilderness areas. but it's an outdoor experience for people that they can build on.
Yes.
Now, I got to ask you, whatever inspired you guys to do a campground like this?
That wasn't the idea in the first place.
Ideas change.
We have a construction company, and we bought this to build a subdivision.
Really?
Yes. And I always tell people I think it was meant to be here, and we was picked to build it because it just fell in place the way it did, you know. The one thing about lake developments in our area is they don't take care of their water and roads. And so I thought, I'm going to put in a small area to raise money, a little campground area. So I put in 4 cabins and 12 little campsites. And I figured once I sold this place, it would be just a common area to make money for the lake development. And it just blew up so much. I put my brakes on building houses. You know,
it's not that anymore, is it? It's been cool to see it grow over the years.
We were actually living in one of the first cabins, the little bitty 500 square foot cabin. Yeah, and we got a phone call on the first weekend that we opened. And that was the last one left. And they said, do you have another cabin to rent? And I said, give me 2 hours. I'll get it cleaned up and get moved out and you can have it.
Yeah, I started booking tight. And we said, if we're going to do this, we're going to do this. So we started making a move. And each year we've grown, oh, man, tremendously. We've had some big, big gross, you know, $2 million gross a year, you know, a couple of years, you know, and it's paid off. You can't build it fast enough. It's amazing how much people love this place. And it's like I said, it's meant to be here.
Well, I first came to the Ozark, the superintendent of the Merrimack Spring Park, about 1973, fresh back from Cambodia, you know. It was a great thing to, get back to the Ozark. Uh-huh. I did this in private, but I can't tell you how many times I got down on my knees and kissed the earth, man. I was so happy to be back.
Oh, I guarantee
it. But to land in the Ozarks and such beautiful country like this, but I have watched the development of particularly the canoe rentals and the campgrounds, you know, mm-hmm. on the Merrimack, the Hoosaw, the Curtaway over there. And I knew those families when they had their river bottom farms. They were all cowboys, you know, and had the horses and made their living off of cattle and hay and that sort of thing. I don't know who the smart person was that figured out they could make more money floating boats than they could herding cattle.
Yeah.
And most of them are still herding cattle because they like it. It's in their heritage,
yes.
You know.
Yeah.
But I can remember when the crowds really started coming out of the cities and coming out to floating camp.
Yes.
Oh, there was lots of rumblings going on. Oh, they're going to destroy the rivers. They're going to ruin the fishing. And I kind of followed that crowd for a little bit because I like the peace and quiet and that sort of thing. But it didn't take me long to discover that those people, even though they crowded me out on the weekends, I'd float during the week to be able to fish and camp in private. But I quickly figured out those people are going to vote, and they're going to vote for conservation issues.
Yes.
And that's exactly what's happening.
Some of them, that's their only way to get in the country and enjoy the outdoors.
Well,
you know,
sure it is. And so then I kind of took it up on myself to start promoting floating, taking vacations, doing things during the week if you want to avoid those weekend crowds. But I also figured out, you know, my wife kind of gets on me because I fish a lot, you know, and I love to fish, but sometimes I just need to go fishing on Saturday morning. But I figured out if I get there at daylight, and I put in the Hoosaw Valley a lot on the Hoosaw, get there at daylight, I'm done by the time the floating crowd gets there.
You're still sleeping in.
Yeah. So there's more than one way to cook a goose, you know.
Yeah, we got a place out here on the Mineral Fork, and the smallmouth fishing out there is just phenomenal.
I haven't been on the Mineral Fork much. Now, Corey Cottrell, that's part of the Hoosaw Valley family, he goes over a lot, you know. Yeah. And that guy owes me big time. I'm going to publicize it. I've loved those people, Corey, and I've spent a lot of time together, and I've advertised for them for probably 40 years. And never charged them a dime.
Uh-huh.
And I stopped by there today on the way over here and got to talk to Corey for a few minutes. Lo and behold, he had some new pickups, bright red with logos on them. They had a fancy logo. And I said, I recognize that logo. I had that logo done. It's on my truck from a long time ago. And I guess he stole it, I guess.
He liked it.
Oh, yeah. But he said, I still owe you for that, don't I? And that's been 20 years ago. And I said, no. You still owe me a fishing trip. I've been keeping tabs. I'm up to 142 fishing trips.
That's a bunch of fishing there.
Yeah, but great people and all the families that took the jump, took the chance, you know, to establish those businesses.
They put in the work. That's what people don't understand. In a
that's
place
the
like
side
this,
people don't see.
We never understood it neither. The work here is tremendous.
Oh, my gosh. So, I learned that as a park superintendent. You know, it's when that summertime crowd hits, it's nonstop 7 days
yep.
a week.
Yep.
And but the thing is that I've seen with so many family-oriented business, it's a labor of love, you yep. know.
Yes.
All right. Today, so how do you rate today's event?
I'm pretty picky. I might give it a 6.
Really? Wow.
I mean, but it's little things that I'm not happy with. But overall, the group that showed up, the speakers were great. The downfall was me on my side. There's just some things we got to get better at. But besides that,
that's just the process of live and learn. Yeah.
For a first time, though, I'm happy. I'm very happy with it.
I would be. I was astounded. Hunter and I talked about it all the way over here. We didn't really know what to expect, you know.
We didn't either.
Well, you don't.
We was praying.
Yeah. The first time you try to have an event, it is kind of a nerve-wracking process. But I think the crowd spoke. People yes. turned out.
Yes.
And quality all the way through. Every exhibitor you had
yes.
had quality products here. I think there was some stuff sold today. I spent more money than I should have.
But, me too. But it's, yeah. it's good. I try to support the people that support
exactly.
us.
Exactly. Exactly. That's just the way it works. So do you do any other kind of events similar to this? Or other events, period.
I'll let my wife talk about that because
she's the event coordinator.
What are the other things people can come here to yes. do and hang out and then maybe some of the facilities type stuff that yep. you guys
yeah.
offer?
We have all kinds festival. Of events. Our biggest one is our Wine and Music Festival. We've had it since the first year that we opened. It's the first Saturday of May every year. We have music all day long. We let all the local wineries come in and do sampling and sell their wine. And then Vendors. It's grown to about 50 vendors. We have to start turning people away because there's so many vendors
wow.
here.
It's a great day if the weather's right.
We do petting zoo, bounce houses, probably about 4 or 5 food trucks. I mean, the parking lots are full. You can't fit nobody
there's
else in here.
A couple thousand people here usually.
Where do they come from?
All over. Most the camping sells out a year in advance. The day
wow.
that it opens, it's sold out because they want to camp here. Then it's open to the public. There's a small gate fee for them to come in. And so they come from all over.
Yeah, it's crazy. But you think about where we're at right here. You've got so many small communities within an hour or 2 hours from here. It just we get them from all over. Like you said, we get them from other states now, too. You know, it's just they're coming from everywhere. It's crazy how fast it happened. It really is.
And then we do on Father's Day weekend. That's become about 5 year tradition. Now we do cardboard boat races.
Cardboard boat races.
Yeah. And they get into it. So they.
It's fun.
The kids and the parents will build their boats and you can only do cardboard and duct tape and they race across the swimming hole and last one standing wins. I think.
They
what
have
are we
to
up
be
to giving out 250 for grand prize?
I think that's what I crossed the Mekong River in Cambodia again, about midnight one night. We swam the last 50 yards.
Oh, Lord.
But, yeah. But, gosh, just incredible progress you made here in a short period of time. But today's event, have you put a date on the calendar for next year?
Well, I mean, we'd like to stick with our same dates. I don't see no problem with it saying the same time this year next year. So I'd say, it'd be this date next year. The first was this first week of our second
it's
weekend.
It's the second.
It's yep. So it'll be the second weekend
Saturday.
Of February or
yeah.
every year.
Well, I know how it works. All the guys and gals that showed up today, everybody seemed to really enjoy it. The speakers held the audience attention, put out some fabulous information. And those guys will all tell their buddies.
Yeah.
That's how it works. So they'll be bringing them back this next year.
I hope so.
Okay. Hunter, any more questions?
Well, if people are looking to reach out to you guys to book something here, how do they get a hold of you guys?
Yeah, so follow us on Facebook. It's called Twin Eagle Lake Estates and Hideout on Facebook. Our phone number is 573-436-3034. Or we have a website, and it's twineaglelakeresort.com. You can book online or you can call. We have live music every weekend, every Friday and Saturday pretty much. We do line dancing on Thursday nights. There's always something going on here. In wintertime, we turn into an elaborate Christmas bar. So there's never a time that we don't do something out here. And it's not just for campers. So it's open to the public. And
got a large game room for the kids also.
An arcade. Yeah.
Wow.
Summertime.
You guys are making me dizzy.
Yeah.
we're getting ready to put in an adult playground where we're sitting right here. It's going to be a sandbox with remote control, heavy equipment. And guys are going to be able to sit around this and have them a drink and play with this equipment in the sand. And it's very cool. Wait till it's put in. It is very cool.
I got to see that. Uh-huh. I've got to see
it. And then we do have a wedding venue, too. So really? It's just across the lake. It's 24-room hotel, and venue holds about 300 people. So
yeah.
Anybody getting married?
Well, you've got all the bases covered.
We have cabins.
Are you a minister? Do you marry him as well?
No part of that.
You can make another $500 at that.
No. I'm too busy taking care of this stuff. We have a lot of cabins. We have a lot of wagons. We have covered wagons, cabins, a couple of big family houses.
We have an adult pool with a swim-up bar.
Yeah.
Wow.
Splash pad and a small pool for the kids, several playgrounds for the kids. We rent out golf carts.
You guys got all the bases.
We try to make a lot, always have a lot of activities.
So you've had a background in construction. How about yourself?
My background's basically just banking. He found me in a bank.
Oh. Did she bring the money with her?
No. But she works hard to make the money.
Oh, there you go.
That's all I needed was a good helper.
She's honest and above board.
That's all I needed.
Well, guys, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the podcast. And folks, from Tyler and Jennifer. Oh, from the podcast board. We're tired, man.
I don't blame you guys. Thanks for coming. You did a great job. We hope we get to see you next year.
I hope so, too. But you know what? All four of us sitting here are living our outdoor dreams every day of our life. We always like to encourage our listeners to get outdoors and enjoy their dreams as well.
Absolutely.
I'm Bill Cooper.
Captain Brian Wilson runs one of the tightest bow fishing operations in the business. Stainwater Bow Fishing operates out of Jerome, Missouri, and the beautiful Missouri Ozarks. They cover most Ozark streams and lakes. You haven't lived until you've searched Ozark waters during the night with Stainwater Bow Fishing while looking for giant gar, carp, and buffalo. Captain Wilson also runs a second boat on Taneycomo Lake. Call today to book a trip with Stainwater Bow Fishing at 573-263-8016. Again, that's 573-263-8016. Be sure and shoot straight.
The Living the Dream Outdoors podcast is brought to you by Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, The Fly Rod Journals, SmokerBuilder.com, Cowtown USA, Westover Farms, Scenic Rivers Taxidermy, Stained Water Bow Fishing, Scenic Rivers Guide Service and Tours, Huzzah Valley Resort, Pico Lures, Devil's Backbone Outfitters, The Fallen Outdoors, Ledco Sinkers and Lure Company, Turnbow Outdoors, J&J Charters, Kaufman Cove, Alaska, Big Ed's Guide Service, Bean Creek Game Calls, Misty Mountain Guide Service, ASO Guides and Outfitters with Ryan Walker, On the Hook TV, Expedition Trailers, The Rambling Angler, Spare Rib Inn in Steelville, Missouri, and Rich's Famous Burgers.
Land ownership is the American dream. Land is the basis of all life. Our wise use of this most precious of resources ensures the survival and growth of free institutions and our American way of life. At Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, we value the traditions and freedoms that land provides us. Every day we seek the solace of a mountain sunrise over traffic jams and smog, the calming silence of a bubbling stream over the sirens of the city, and the quiet of the countryside over the hustle and bustle of the world. We hunt, we fish, we farm. We live off the land. It's our mission to help our clients live out their dreams on the land as we do. At Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, we believe that it's not just land, it's a lifestyle. Join us 5 days a week on Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast as the Living the Dream Outdoor Dream Team explores the most desired outdoor properties in the Midwest and whisks you away to incredible hunting, fishing, and outdoor recreation opportunities. Host Bill Cooper, an inductee of the National Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame, will be joined by members of the Living the Dream Outdoors team each week as they tell tall tales, unveil tips and tactics, and rub elbows with some of the biggest names in the outdoor world. You'll also find the Living the Dream Outdoors podcast on your favorite social media platforms, including Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok.